He is risen.
I was hoping I'd get that response this morning. I bring you greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. And as Brother Doug shared already, without the risen part, we have no hope this morning. We couldn't be here. And Brother Doug, it just was a nice affirmation because I have underlined in my Bible, he is risen. That is what is important to the believer this morning. We needed the cross. We needed the blood of Christ to cover our sins. But the power from that blood comes because he is risen. He has rose above death. It is the one thing that man has always wanted to beat, has always tried to outdo, is death. We know the way. So, probably most of you weren't thinking about Easter in January, but I got that phone call, so I've been thinking about Easter ever since January. And it's not often that I do a job that I get paid ahead for. And I guess it wasn't pay, but Brother Doug and Joy gave us their hospitality last week because I was willing to stand here. And I just hope that the spiritual food this morning is somewhat close good to the physical food and the fellowship that we enjoyed last week. It was a great day. So anyway, our lesson this morning has a title, Be Not Afraid. And I was thinking about that title, and as I've been thinking about this, like I said, since January, thought about fear, but then I had to think about life. And the comments that Brother Larry made last night were a nice affirmation to that. Easter is about life. It's about living. And we as believers have something that the world doesn't have. And what I'd like to convey this morning is, do I live in such a way that people know that I have something that they don't have? And you know, I'm sure many of you that preach and teach, it seems like the week that you have responsibilities, Satan sort of, I think, likes to run overtime. And I sort of felt like some of that was going on this week. And I think I had a conversation with a young man this week. It was pretty dark. He told his mother he was going to take his life. He jumped out of a bedroom window. He ran away. He was angry. He told me, he said, I'm angry. He said, I'm frustrated. And I tried to explain to him, we have a hope that the world doesn't have. He has fears. He says, what's the point? He says, you know, he has goals as a young man. He's an intelligent young man. He said, I'd like to own a property. He don't have a very good father figure. He said, I want to be better than my father. I said, I can tell you, you will be, if that's the desire of your heart. But the challenge to me was, do I have something better to offer him? We do. If we can get them to see it. But it was his fears that stuck out to me. And there are different kinds of fears as I thought about this. There's common sense fears in this world. We don't go to the edge of a tall cliff and walk over. You don't sit in the middle of a road. I think that comes under a sound mind. There are things that we just don't do. But then, you know, there are fears that, I guess I'll just mention that sometimes they can be sort of humorous. Anybody that has witnessed me in the presence of a snake or Andy Newcomer in the presence of bees, it can be rather humorous. And in you can see the human body do things you didn't think was possible. So these are fears that we can sort of laugh about. But then there are fears that I call are irrational fears. They are not fears that we should have as believers. They disabilitate us, that we cannot function. And then there's also good fears, isn't there? There's the fear of God. Things that motivate us in the right direction. So in today's lesson, it's mentioned that they should not be afraid. But I'd like to drop back to Matthew's account. Matthew 28. And we want to just look just briefly at this. In verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. His countenance was light like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men." You know, that is a fear that I don't know, maybe some of you have been in different positions, but that's a fear that I don't think we can imagine, that you're that afraid that you can't move. And then the angel said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And if we look at the many accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all mention fear. But I believe that these women had a godly fear. They realized who Jesus was. And I had to think about these soldiers. You know, they became as dead men. These soldiers were the most powerful men at that time on earth. They had more power at their fingertips than anything else. And a small touch from God made them as dead men. Are we as believers supposed to be fearful people? Let's flip to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:8. If anybody has anything they would like to share, feel free to cut in anytime. Paul is talking to Timothy here, and he, in verse 7, he said, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, when we realize that Christ overcame the grave, he overcame death, and we tap on that power, that is the power that he gives us. It gives us love, and it helps us to reason what we deal with in this world. And I had to think, you know, we have an example, the power of love and a sound mind. And to me, this was when Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." In his humanness, he did not want to go through with the cross. I believe we could say that he feared it, even though he knew what the outcome would be. And I had to think, you know, I think many of us sitting here see the change in our world, and we don't know what the future holds. And I had to think, you know, that's a blessing, isn't it? He promises us grace to go through each day as it comes. He don't give us grace ahead. But Jesus knew what was coming for him. And he asked that he wouldn't have to go through with that. And yet, whatever your will is, Lord, I'm willing to do it. You know, in America, we're pretty pampered. Pretty much, we were raised with the mindset that you work hard. I think Brother Brad mentioned that. You work hard, you play hard. But you work hard 60-some years, and then What do? You hit the recliner and you coast into our casket, isn't it? And I just can't find that anywhere in Scripture. We are supposed to live. When Christ came out of the grave, he didn't take it easy, did he? He's still working for us. He's still with us. We as believers need to live. I had to think of this watch that was at the tomb, and it says they became as dead men. I think we can see a lot of that today. We've experienced a lot of fear in the last year, haven't we? And a man I visited when I was up in the mountains, and I've quoted this quite a bit this past year, but he said, people are so afraid of dying that they can't live. And we as believers, we shouldn't be like that. We have something more. We need to have the faith in this morning, in the risen Lord and Savior. And when I think of that faith, how do we step out? And I found a little story that illustrated it very well. Two men were looking at a painting of the blind man at Jericho. And the one man said to the other, he said, what is the most impressive part of this painting? Is it the face of Jesus? Or is it the face of the blind man that, as he looking unto Jesus, as Jesus healed him? And the man said, neither. He said, it's the fact that over there, laying on the steps, is his cane. And he threw down that cane and he went to Jesus. He had full confidence in his Savior. And because of our risen Lord, we can have full confidence that we have something more. And I believe that if we have something more, if we have something special, the world will be attracted to it. If we're caught up in what's going on in Washington, if we're caught up in the political realm, we have nothing more to offer to the world than what they already have. What is it that made the people flock to Jesus and leave the Pharisees? Let's look at that account just a little bit in Matthew 21, verse 23. We know that the Pharisees were jealous. Chapter 21, verse 23. And when he had come to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, what shall we say? From heaven? And he will say unto us, then why did you not believe? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered him and said, we cannot tell. And I had to think, those Pharisees, what held them up here? It was fear, wasn't it? It was the fear of man. They feared what the people, they had nothing to offer to the people. Because fear kept them from doing it. Jesus could speak with authority because he knew where his power came from. Do I know where my power come from this morning? It allowed him something to offer the people that they could not get from the religious leaders. He had a right relationship with the Father. Sin and fear hinders our relationship with the Father. I want to look at that later in our lesson. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share? Okay. I would like to look at a fear that draws us closer to God. And as I was studying, I thought it was interesting. I don't use a lot of study tools anymore, but I did use the Knaves Topical Bible, and I looked up fear, and I looked up life. There are 4 full pages of references of fear in the Bible, and there are more than that about life. So as I went through and I was picking out different scriptures that dealt with fear and the fear of God, and that was 4 full pages just on the fear of God, I in no way could cover, even scratch the surface. But there was some verses that I'd like to look at. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I had to think about that. What is the fear of the Lord? It's the beginning of wisdom. What is wisdom? You know, there's a lot of knowledge today. People want to know things. We have a lot of knowledge at our fingertips. But knowledge or wisdom is applying the knowledge. And wisdom that from fearing the Lord motivates us in the right directions. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. What kind of picture is that? When we realize who God is, when we realize His power, it should make us want to have no parts of this world. We should realize that this world has nothing to offer. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And I believe this fit in so well with last night's sermon. In Romans 12, it says that we are supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. As people see us out and about in our daily lives, do they see that there's something different? And one thing that I personally have been trying to do in my life is, and I especially tried to do it on Friday, as I gave people their stuff at market. Instead of saying Happy Easter, you know, you could say Happy Easter and they grab the bag and they went on down the aisle. But if you look them people, and sometimes I just hold their bag a little bit that they would, it would make them look at me. I'm just sort of that kind of a person. But anyway, I would say, you have a blessed Easter. And you could see many of them, it meant something more. We're blessed to have Easter, not just have a happy Easter. It's not just a day where we eat ham. Yes, it's great to get together with family. And I believe that family is the closest thing that we have to heaven on this side of eternity. And I enjoy getting together with family. But when I said to them, have a blessed Easter, you could see, oh, there's something more. Do we have something more to offer? And I don't say that to pat myself on the back. I took that as a challenge myself, because I fail many, many times in that area. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. That's a picture of a father's love. I feared my father when I disobeyed him, and rightfully so. Occasionally my mother too. But ultimately, many of us have raised children, and you know, when we see a child that obeys because they want to please their parents, that is a picture of what God is looking at for us. We can serve him out of fear. I can make my children do things out of fear. I have done that. But our motivation to serve God must not be out of fear. It must be out of love. It must be out of the realization of the fact that he went to the cross for us and that love for us. Does anybody have any thoughts on fear? Okay. Then I was thinking about living. That Jesus Christ is alive. God has always been alive. John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. We as believers have access to God through this book right here. We call this the words of life, don't we? We can go here and we can find and solve and have the answer to any problem there ever was in this world. We have access to that. There are people in this world that would love to have a Bible and can't get it. It's not just a book. But the whole theme of this book is life. And like I said, when I looked into the topical Bible, it was many, many pages on life and living. And in 2 Peter 3:9. Sometimes we wonder why God just doesn't come and punish sinners. But I am so thankful that he's tarrying, because it's his desire that none of us should perish. There are people here that God still wants in his kingdom. That door is open. No one is beyond the reach of his salvation. And I like the way that verse ends. And it says that all should come to repentance. Our brother talked about that on Tuesday night. Repentance is necessary for eternal life. It is life. It is a life that is lived, loving the Father and trying to do his will. And I'd just like to share a very brief testimony about repentance. As a young man, I wasn't living the way I was supposed to, and one night I stood back there to rededicate my life. And I'm very thankful for Brother Merle Bevenauer. He called me that day and he said, "Clay," he said, "I accept your acknowledgement, but," he said, "for your benefit," and at that point in my life I couldn't see this, but he said, "for your benefit," he said, "do you think it would be good for you to make a statement?" So that evening I stood and I made a statement, and I'm so thankful for that. And I just share this with young people: if you're going down the wrong road, don't keep going, turn around. But he says, if we confess our faults, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But that don't mean that Satan's going to let us alone. And then here I am, 30, 40 years later, and sometimes these thoughts come back to me, and I call that my stake. I have to go back to my stake I've repented of that. I've been forgiven of that. That is a place that I can return to. And I'm very thankful that Brother Merle had me do that night. I want us to think about the fact that Christ, that Jesus is about life from the beginning of this book to the end of this book. And we're going to flip back to Genesis 2. I'm going to have to skip over some things because we're not even scratching the surface here. Chapter 2, verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Two trees there in the garden. Sometimes we tend to get hung up on that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But what was God's intent when he created man? Life. He gave Adam the tree of life that we could live forever. We know that they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he had to remove them from the garden. And that sounds terrible that he punished them. That wasn't punishment. If we were still there, we'd be living forever in our sins. God is about life. God created man with a choice. Every one of us has a choice. Throughout this past week, we've been given a choice almost every evening. Brother Brad has been very faithful in bringing his message in a very, very way that I appreciated, plain and simple, very easy to understand. But when we think about that free choice, and what did Satan do here in the garden? But he worked to get Eve to look at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then I had to think, well, what's the next tree in the Bible? That's the tree that Christ hung on, isn't it? That is the tree of life. That is what we're celebrating this weekend. That's what we're remembering. Now what's Satan trying to do? He's trying to keep us away from the tree, isn't he? Let's go back to the end of the Bible. Revelations 22. Again, we're thinking about life. Going to run out of time here, but I got a lot of thoughts there on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but just something to think about. It says that tree was pleasant to look at. We as believers need to be careful what the world has to offer. And like that young man that I was talking to this week, he was looking at people. And he was thinking, when he looked at people, you know, if these people have money, they've got it all together. Or if they have this, they've got it all together. In his mind, if you had a big diesel truck, you had it all together. The world's throwing a lot of things out there. We need to be careful what we're looking at. The only thing that will draw us closer to God is obeying his commands. We have that free choice. And it is still God's will that we would live with him forever. I don't feel like I'm making a lot of sense here because I'm trying to skip over some stuff. Okay, Revelation 22. First off, I'm sorry, I went too far. Again, I would like to emphasize the fact that Jesus is life from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. But in Revelation 21, we're going to start there, verse 6 through 8. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, that's the beginning, and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Think about that. He's a fountain of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, the beginning of verse 8 is what I thought was very interesting. I talked about fear. I talked about disabilitating fear. Verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. We serve a living God. He has given us power to live above the world. And if we get caught up in the world and we are fearful that God isn't enough, that's the first thing that he mentions. It's going to separate us from God. And then, chapter 22, he talks about a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and either side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded fruit each month. And the leaves of that tree were for the healing of the nations. So there we are in the last chapter of the Bible, and God is still reaching out and extending that eternal life to us, isn't he? The Bible is a book about life. This morning, what we want to think about is the fact that because Jesus is living, we serve a living Lord, we have the power to live forever. I'd like to end with this little story. A little girl told her mother that she didn't understand the sermon on Sunday. She said that the preacher said that God is bigger than all of us. Is that true? The mother said, yes. Well, she said, I don't understand because he said that God lives within us. Is that true? She said, yeah. And then the little girl said, well, then wouldn't he show out of us? Wouldn't he come out of us? And that was my challenge. We serve a living God. And do we serve him in such a way that people can see him in us? Does he shine out of us? Can we be the light to the world? God is light, he is life, and that's what Easter is about. Thank you for your time and attention.